Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
Open up to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you have your Bible tonight. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do a quick study. I was thinking kind of a, it's the kickoff of our week, right? So it's like, hey, before you go out that door, two things. Did your parents ever do that to you? Two things. Like, I specifically remember being in the car, the good old Astro Chevy van. Any of you guys have an Astro, Chevy Astro van? Hey, all right, Mark knows what I'm talking about. Always crammed in the back seat. And I think we had a blue one, and then we finally got rid of that one. That thing was, we must have trashed that. Three boys, goodness, we trashed that thing. And we took it up to camp, 12-hour camp trips. I remember trying to sleep in that van and hearing the fishing rods, you know, like all rubbing each other for 12 hours. That was a nice trip to camp. But those were the days. And so I have memories of that van, and then we replaced it with a new Chevy Astro van, and it was slightly turquoise a little bit. Yeah, good times, good times. So those are my memories of vehicles, and I remember getting out of the van, going into school, and I went to an AC school like what we have here, and my mom would always say a few things, right? She'd always have those last-minute reminders. Do you have your paces? Is your homework slip signed? Is your communication envelope signed? Do you have a communication envelope? And there'd always be like these random things. And even like, it would even before we left the house, so we'd get in the car, and I'm not going to say which brother it was, but there was always one brother who was like, oh yeah, forgot my paces, have to go back in, and it was always dragging us. And I was like, dude, you're going to make us late for school. Unbelievable. It could have been me, but most of the time I don't think it was me. I think it was a different brother, but I won't name him. His initials are Joe. Good old Joe. Oh, my goodness, too funny. So those are memories from that. All right, so before you go, two things. Sports. Any of you guys have coaches that gave you, like, last-minute reminders? You went to a timeout. Maybe it was, like, right before the race, and you were going to get these last words of wisdom, right? And it was like, you know, I can think of my coach in basketball. He'd always be like, ball you man. You know, like, so you should, the ball should be here. You should be there. And then your man should be here. You should be guarding your man so that they can't get the ball to your guy. And then I'm thinking about ACE, good old ACE coaching. So the first day we have our did you guys know that we had a 3-on-3 tournament at ACE convention this year? And we like won games. Like, we literally, like, we're 3-1, I think. 2-1. No, I think we're 3-1. I think we're 3-1. Yeah, 3-1 sounds better. So we're 3-1. But one of the words of advice that I had to give as they were exiting a timeout was, you have to be between your man and the basket on defense. Like, the basket's here. You need to be here, they need to be here. If you're out here and it's them in the basket left to themselves, what's going to happen? Bad things, right? Good reminders, right? Follow your shot, right? Ever heard that one in basketball? Follow your shot. Some people shoot the three and they just stand there and they kind of just stare at the ball. And it's like, no, dude, follow your shot. The ball's coming right back at you. You can get the rebound and you can go back again. Or box out. Ever heard that one? Here are some real words of wisdom. Do you guys know what a free throw is? Everyone knows what a free throw is? Raise your hand if you don't know what a free throw is. I don't want to talk over anyone's head. Little guys, okay. Mr. Young does know what a free throw is. No, he was. I'm just teasing. So a free throw, you're at the line, right? And nobody's guarding you. You have two shots usually, sometimes one, sometimes three if they follow you on a three-pointer. But usually at the end of a game, if you have free throws, that's like a very tense time. And the game could be really tight, and they'll foul you to stop the clock, hoping that you're going to miss a free throw, and then they get the ball and they can score, and they haven't wasted any of the time and left in the game. So what will happen is they follow you, and then they'll let you go to the line. You go all the way out to the line. You're ready to shoot. They're about to pass you the ball. And what does the other team do? They freeze the kicker. Timeout! And then you go back, you go to the squad, and they're totally trying to freeze you, get you to overthink, be freaked out. I've had it where they literally, we went to the line, they're about to pass me the ball, timeout. Go to a timeout. All right, okay, so we got to make that free throw, very important. Make that free throw, do all this. Go back out, timeout. And it was like this two-minute just freeze session. You know, they're just trying to totally freeze you out. But my coach had these famous last words after the timeout, and it would be, "Put it in, Tanny. Thank you for that word of advice. Now that I have that advice, I'll be good to go. Put it in." I don't know why I didn't think of that. So put it in. Put it in. And so I was thinking about those words of wisdom and how it those pointers, you know, our parents as we were going to school, words of wisdom. Hey, don't forget this. Last minute reminder, those things. Some good words of wisdom before we head out for this week. As I was reading, and I even heard this, this was one of the scripture memory verses at Spring Lab that the kids had to memorize. So very good. And I was thinking about my life with the Upstairs Project. The stress level is going up, and the sleep level quantity is going where? Down. Any of you have experienced that? Have any of you? Okay, awesome. All right, I'm not alone. We're all humans. Hey, what do you know? We bear that in common. And so I saw this meme. Forgive me, I don't usually look at memes, but this one I saw, and I thought it was funny. And it said, basically, your life and ministry is summed up in the statement, "I'll get to that next week when things slow down." Have you ever experienced that? I think that's like life. I'll get to that when things slow down next week. And next week is never, it's never quiet. And so it just is what it is. So I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and the things that he went through. I think he went through his fair share of stressful situations, right? We can think of that list where he made, you know, of all the beatings and stoned and shipwrecked and all these things. And we can think about those situations and we can see how God used him and in spite of his human frailty. And we can see how God just kind of used him to, and really, honestly, he left that record of all these things that Paul went through to really pave the way for future Christians, right? We benefit from those writings today. We totally do. And how God can use that stuff. And I really think, like, you know, going through a hard situation is never fun. It never is. And I'm sure Paul would be the first person to say, "Man, this was, like, brutal. I never want that again." But we can also say, you know, how many years later, 2,000 years, call it 2,000 years later, we can say, you know what, that was brutal for him, but God still somehow is working those negative things for our good, and he can use them for our good, and we can pull good out of that brutal, awful situation that he was in. And so as I was thinking about this kind of, my life, and I was thinking about just what's near and dear to me, and what I've been experiencing, and then this, I heard this verse, and it all kind of pulled together. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, and we're just going to cruise through this. Here we go. "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul was talking about his assistant pastor when he was talking about the thorn in the flesh. It's like, I got this guy, he's training underneath me, and he's a total piece of work, and three times I've asked God to get rid of him, and he's still there. Anyways, that's maybe, I don't know, maybe I relate to that better. But anyways, the point of this, though, is this. What's interesting, look at verse 7. Let's just look at verse 7. I think this is interesting because I read it, and then I read it again, and like I copied it out, and I put it in my Word document. I was like, did I copy that wrong? Does he repeat himself? Or is it just me? Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Why does he repeat himself? Isn't that interesting? So our difficulties, our trials, like the thorn in the flesh wasn't fun. He was asking God, God, you got to get rid of this thing. You got to get rid of this thing. I don't know what it was. Nobody does. People have guesses, but nobody does. Why did he have this thing? Lest I should be exalted above measure. I think there's something to that. So here's the first thing that I want to leave you with. Two things, right? First thing. You guys ready? We are insufficient. We are. Have you ever gotten to the point where you feel like you're beyond yourself? And it's just, I can't do anymore. I'm kind of done. I'm maxed out. What do you think Paul felt? You know what? I've got all these great things going, but you know what? I can't do this. And I've got this difficulty. I'm going through this hard difficulty. You know what? I think he realized, you know what? In my flesh, I am insufficient. I'm doing all these great things, right? But in spite of doing all those great things, I keep coming up. I'm still lacking in these areas, in some of these areas. You know, here we have Paul. What is he? He's talented, right? He's what else? He's educated, right? He sat underneath that scholar. He's a smart guy, smart cookie, right? He's got a gift for sure. He's educated. What else? He's chosen by God, all right? Not many people are on that list where God called them and set them aside, like face-to-face, right? The apostle thing is kind of a short list, right? And so what else is he doing? He's writing the Bible. He's being used greatly of God, but yet what is he realizing? Lest I should be exalted above measure, you know, like, because it'd be easy, like, oh man, I'm being used, am I this godly person, and I'm this example, all these people are, reading my letters, and wow. But here I am, reminded of my frailty, of my humanity, and that I am just a mere mortal. I'm just a human being like everyone else. And I need the Lord. I'm insufficient. And I think the truth is if we have that attitude, there's a humility that comes with that attitude, and there's an attitude of reliance on the Lord that comes with it, which is awesome. All right, so let's look at this. So this is another verse that came to mind. 1 Peter 1:24, it says this, and you don't have to turn there. We're going to stay in 2 Corinthians. But for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You know what I thought about on this? All flesh, okay, that's us. We're as grass. We're going to wither, right? We get old, and we wither, and we turn back into dust, right? It's true reality, right? But I was thinking about this. And all the glory of man as the flower of grass, right? The flower, right? The tulips are coming up. I have a tulip outside my back, a couple tulips popping up, and they're beautiful. But in a month, what are they going to be? They're gone, right? They're gone. They're going to wither, and they're going to shrivel back into the ground. They're part of the dirt again, right? I was thinking about the glory of man. What do we as humans take glory in? Well, some of us take glory in our, right? We got Dave. You take glory in gardening, right? Tim, gardening. Like, that's, right? I enjoy that. Like, that's passionate, right? I know that's your passion. I take passion in woodworking. I take passion in building stuff. You know, we can all find something, sewing or whatever it is, some hobby that we take pride in, right? You know what? All those things, right? Building a building. Great. If we take glory in that, what happens? What happens to that woodworking project that we thought was priceless? What happens to that garden if it's unkept for a few years? What happens to the building in so many years? What happens? It all fades away. It all fades away. And that's really, you know, we can glory in so many things. But the truth is we have to be reminded that it's all just so temporary. And it's really not something that we should, I don't know, stake our claim and that's everything we live for. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. All right, so you're all saying this is really depressing. It's Sunday night. We want an encouraging rah-rah message. So here we go. Number two, right? Remember I told you there were two things. First thing, we're insufficient. What's the second thing? God is sufficient. God is sufficient. God is sufficient. I know that's really deep, but we're going to keep going. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he, which is God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. In weakness. In our insufficiency, where does God's sufficiency come in? In our insufficiency. If we think we got it, we're good. We're not tapping into what is available to us, okay? You think about the Bible and what it's, all those illustrations that God gave. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Unless you abide in me, no good. I'm the living water, I'm your daily bread, right? He's sufficient. It's not us. He is. He is. God's grace is sufficient for us. Strength, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, all right? You know what? There is something to be said for, you know what, I may feel overwhelmed this week, but I am going to take that overwhelmed, you know, maybe chaotic life, and I'm going to pause, I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to say, God, I'm insufficient. I can't do it. I just can't do it. But I know you're sufficient. I know you can handle it. And I'm just going to give it all to you. I'm going to give it all to you, and I'm going to just let you work through me. You know what? If you operate your life with that viewpoint, you know what? It takes the total load off of us. It takes the total load off of us. We've got to give it to God. We've got to give it to God. We were talking in school, in opening, we were talking about this, but in my Bible reading this week, I was in Judges 6. I think it's Judges 6 and 7, where it talks about Gideon. And Gideon's this scared guy, right? And what they've got the Midianites coming to attack, right? And so Gideon's kind of cowering, and then he tests God twice, and he flips it, the test, right, to make sure, because you got to make sure. And then God says, hey, you can come down and look just to get reassurance. So he takes that tip to get reassurance. So he's like really timid, like, talk about insecure as far as a military leader, right? This guy is freaked out, which he has a right to be, right? Why should he be insecure? Because he's got an army of 30,000 against 100,000? 200,000? Would you be insecure? I would be. And then God says, you know what? Great. You got 30,000? You're going to have 300. And then as I was telling the kids, I was like, now you're outnumbered terribly. And now let's get rid of the swords and the spears and the shields, and let's just give you a trumpet and a torch and a pot. Because now you'll really be ready for war, right? What happens? God uses those people that were totally insufficient. That army was totally, it was, right? If you compared the two, you'd be like, dude, they're destined to lose. You will lose every time. But what happens? God gets in the picture and he makes the difference, okay? He gets in the picture and he makes the difference. Stick to God. All right, now don't find it in yourself. Don't find it in yourself. Don't try to seek it in yourself. Seek it in God. Seek it in God. All right, so let's keep going. So then I want to continue this. So the 1 Peter 1:24. Let's read verse 24 and 25 together now. Here we go. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But, aren't you glad there's a but? Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know what? We are all temporary. We are all temporary. Sometimes I look at my teachers in like growing up, and I f- felt like they were in that Christian school teaching forever. And they were there for a long time. Like some of those teachers, God bless their faithfulness, they were in there teaching, I don't know, they were there the whole time I was there. They were there for a generation before and probably a generation after. I don't know if it was like 30 years or something crazy. But some of these teachers were teaching in my Christian school, and they were gifted teachers, and they were faithful. You know what? A lot of them aren't in there anymore. We're all temporary, guys. Who is eternal? God is. God is. And we've got to stick to that. We've got to stick to that. And then, if we find our sufficiency in God, what happens? 2 Corinthians 12:10. We'll continue on that passage where Paul writes. It says, therefore, so in summary, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches. It's hard to take pleasure in reproaches. How many of you like getting rebuked? Not any of us, right? My hand is down. But yet we can take pleasure in those things, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I'm insufficient, I'm weak, then am I strong. Because why? Because we're great? No. Because God is. Because God is. It's all about where we look to. Where do we look? Where do we look? When we're overwhelmed, where are we looking? Where are we looking? Psalm 61, verse 2, has a great, it's a great verse on this topic. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When the storms of life are coming at us, and when it's flooding and it's coming up, I need to go to a rock that's bigger than me. All right? I need to go to a rock that's higher than I. Lead me to the rock. When I'm overwhelmed, and for some of us, it's fairly often. For me, recently, it's fairly often. Where do we need to go? Take it to God. Take it to God. Psalm 121, we'll read this and then we'll close. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from where? Myself, my intellect, my education, my, you know, the fact that I'm in ministry. No. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You know what? There may be some crazy hours ahead this summer doing that building project. I'm sure at Belmont they've had some crazy hours. But you know what? God's always there. God's always there. And we can always go to him. We can always go to him. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Two things before you go. Realize you're insufficient. All right? When you face the difficulties of this week, I'm insufficient. It's okay. I'm not going to be able to handle this. God, I'm going to you because you are sufficient. You can handle it. You can take care of it. You can take care of it. All right? And that is the two things before you go.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092. Or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.